Good morning. Great to be back here at Brookside. I have an announcement. Springtime is coming. I was pleasantly surprised as I got off the plane yesterday and shocked by how warm it is up here. But great to be with you once again. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, but David was not perfect. David made some very poor choices. He committed some horrible sins. He lost fellowship with God. He lost perspective. And Psalm 51 is a prayer of confession, it's a prayer of repentance, and it's a cry for restoration. So I invite your attention to Psalm chapter 51 this morning, one of the great, most well-known psalms in the Bible. We're just going to break in here in verse 7, Psalm chapter 51 and verse 7. And I invite you to stand this morning as we read the Word of God. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 7. Now notice the heart cry of this man after God's own heart. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10, together, King James Version, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Read that again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The word renew means to rebuild or repair. So David was praying that God would rebuild a proper, firm, prosperous, steadfast, right spirit within him. The word spirit in the Bible always means wind or breath. The word spirit always means wind or breath. So the Holy Spirit is nothing other than the very breath of God. In our physical world, the wind is unseen. It's invisible. It's unpredictable. But it is very, very powerful. And the spirit of man is that unseen, invisible. It's the real person. Philemon says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The book of Peter references a meek and quiet spirit. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Paul was praying their entire spirit would be sanctified. Now, the spirit of man is the unseen, immaterial part of man. It's unseen, it's unknown, it's invisible, but it's the real person. And David had to pray this prayer, renew a right spirit within me. Now, everybody carries their own personal atmosphere with them wherever they go. You can have a spirit of joy or a spirit of anger. You can have a spirit of peace or a spirit of sadness. You can have a spirit of humility or a spirit of pride. You can have a spirit of determination or a spirit of defeat. You can have a spirit of hope or a spirit of despair. You can have a spirit of anticipation or a spirit of complacency. Every congregation has its own unique personality. Every church has its own unique atmosphere. And the atmosphere in a local church is the result of the spirit that the people who are attending brought with them. It's like when we come in the door, we all bring our little cup, our little thimble, you know. We pour it in the collective pot, the collective bucket. And whatever spirit is in a local church is the composite result of the personal spirit that the people brought with them. And David had to pray this prayer, renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to tell you, you can have a critical spirit. You can have a negative spirit. You can have a cynical spirit. You can have an unbelieving spirit. You can have an agitated spirit. You can have a depressed spirit. You can have a sensual spirit, an unforgiving spirit. But you know, you can't control your emotions all the time, but you can control your thoughts. And if you think right long enough, you're emotions will catch up with you somewhere down the road. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And your life and my life is going to move in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we need to pray this prayer too. Renew a right spirit within me. Be seated and let's have just a moment of prayer and invite God to come and talk to us here this morning. Oh, our Heavenly Father, this morning, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you renew a right spirit within us? Lord, regardless of whatever we brought with us, we want to leave with a right spirit. So thank you for your speaking voice, your healing touch. We anticipate blessing in Christ's name. all God's people can say, amen. Indulging wrong thoughts will lead to strongholds. And the Bible tells us that we have powerful weapons, mighty through God, to demolish, cast down, pull down strongholds, imaginations, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. As American culture continues to unravel, and there's no way to stop it at this point, I don't think, one of the main missions of the Church of the Living God will be giving people a hope and release from despair. And the Bible says the whole creation is groaning in travail, waiting for the redemption of the body. And there are three reasons that David had to pray this prayer, renew a right spirit within me. And I want to highlight three things this morning that are very common to man. And the reason why David had to pray this prayer. First of all, David had an adulterous spirit. David had an adulterous spirit. Now, David had yielded to the sin of adultery. His heart was divided. His heart was polluted. His heart was guilty. And he asked God to cleanse him from his sin. He asked God to rebuild a proper attitude in his mind and soul. He asked God to rebuild a proper spirit within him. You know, when a culture abandons God, the very first thing that happens is God gives them over to a spirit of adultery. That's the very first thing that happens, Romans 1, that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful, became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They professed themselves to be wise. They became utter fools. They changed the glory of God. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness to dishonor their bodies among themselves. It says in Jeremiah 5:8, they were as fed horses. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Flirting, chatting, touching, lusting. I have a word here this morning for everybody above 30. I have a special word for you. Listen up. If you're above 30 or any age, you got no business connecting with your old high school flings on Facebook. And if you sent a recent non-photoshopped photograph of yourself, that would eliminate all the problems in the first place. You just wouldn't have any problems whatsoever. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said that lust is the same thing. Whoever thought that lust would become a corporate enterprise? Whoever dreamed that adultery would become a multi-billion dollar industry? There are websites that help people hook up for one-night stands. One of them has a slogan, life is short, have an affair. Life is short, have an affair. Now, Wikipedia said one of these sites has 35 million users. You know, Jesus talked about an adulterous generation. I'm telling you, we're in the middle of one here too. You know, adultery has been glamorized in the media. Adultery has been tolerated in the White House. Adultery has been normalized in society. It's been condoned in the church house, but it's still condemned by God. Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, I want to tell you that sexual desire is common to man. Let me just give you some counsel here this morning. Sexual desire is not something you conquer. I mean, it's God-given. Sexual desire is not something you conquer. It's something you learn to manage. And becoming a Christian does not make you a robot. Becoming a Christian does not eliminate your God-given human appetites, but being filled with the Spirit of God can bring proper balance. David was the most spiritual man in the Bible. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. Samson was the strongest man in the Bible, but they all committed adultery. And I want to tell you that David confessed his sin. He acknowledged his transgression. He found forgiveness from God, and then he had to pray that prayer. Renew a right spirit within me. Can I encourage you this morning? The journey to heaven is not a guilt trip. And the blood of Jesus is more powerful than whatever you've done or haven't done. Let me just say this morning, God's people are still human. They get tempted just like everybody else. And the question here this morning in the thought life, are you regularly defeated and rarely victorious? Are you regularly defeated and rarely victorious? Or are you regularly victorious and rarely defeated? And I want to tell you, sometimes we got to pray that prayer. Renew a right spirit within me. But not only did he have an adulterous spirit, David had a spirit of anger. He had a spirit of anger. Now, David was outraged. You know the story when Nathan the prophet came and told him this episode about this wealthy man who had everything, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of livestock and animals, and how he confiscated this poor peasant, his pet lamb, his one prized possession, how he took his pet lamb. And he built the whole story up, and when David heard this thing, why, he flew into a fit of rage, and he said, why, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. We'll put him to death. And old Nathan took his long, bony, prophetic finger and shoved it in the face of David and said, David, thou art the man. This is exactly what you have done. And I want to say this, that before David came clean, he was eaten up with guilt. He'd even murdered a man. He had this pent-up hostility, he had this explosive anger, these exaggerated responses. And anger is often a result of unresolved guilt. I want to tell you that anger is a byproduct of lust. It's a devilish duo. Typically where you have one, you're going to have the other. My wife and I were over in Jersey not too long ago, and we're right across the river from Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly what? Anybody think they ought to change the name of that city there? Maybe. I was in the airport. I said, hey, how many murders? I asked the policeman. I said, how many murders did you have in Philadelphia last year? He said, over 300. Oh. But we were right across the river, and over in Philadelphia, there was a man sitting at a stoplight when all of a sudden this character pulls up on the inside shoulder of the road right beside him at the light. When the light changed, the guy on the shoulder passed him by. He got stopped at the next light. The fellow who had been bypassed at the previous light pulled up on the inside shoulder right beside of him, rolled down the window, pulled out a pistol, and shot the guy and murdered him. Now, what's going on with this? They call it IED, intermittent explosive disorder. Sounds like some sort of digestive issue. But intermittent explosive disorder, what are we talking about here? School shootings, drive-by shootings, wife beating, child abuse. We've had to come up with a new vocabulary to describe the age of rage. We're living in the age of rage. America's more divided now than it's ever been. And people are just seething with anger. Political rage, road rage, all kinds of rage. But I want to tell you that anger is nothing new. It was anger that made Cain kill his brother Abel. It was anger that caused Moses the promised land when he struck the rock in anger. Sarah got angry with Hagar when she got pregnant and she couldn't, and she's the one that gave Hagar to Abraham anyhow. Don't you love it how the commentators never answer the hard portions in the Bible, amen, because they don't know what to make of it either. But people are angry. Now, Joseph's brothers were jealous and angry. I want to tell you that anger is an outward sign of a deeper problem. Your internal world is going to show up in your external world. And the condition of your soul has physical implications on your body. What's going on in your heart is going to surface in your life and in your home. We're living in the age of rage. We're a nation whose emotions are on edge. We're strung out, stressed out, stretched out. But Proverbs says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. David had a spirit of anger, so he had to pray, renew a right spirit within me. But David also had a third problem. David had a spirit of anxiety. He had a spirit of anxiety. I was preaching in a large church Sunday morning. I finished. I went and sat on the front row, unprovoked, uninvited. Three people got out of their seats, came and sat down right beside of me. And they all shared with me how they were struggling with anxiety. And as I listened to their stories, I'm telling you, there were some real solid reasons why they were struggling with anxiety. I have a friend in Florida. He live streams all his messages on the internet. He said he normally gets around 20 hits per week, but he said if he ever puts the word depression in the sermon description, the hits will skyrocket from 20 to 3 to 400. And I want to tell you, this is very, very common to man. And David had to face it. Look in verse 2 at what he said. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Oh, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Man, he was just eaten up. Verse 8, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, it's been a long time since David smiled and felt it and meant it. I'm sure he had his obligatory smiles, but here he's praying, God, make me to feel joy and gladness. God, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Why? Because David is a man suffering from anxiety and guilt. I mean, what other book would tell the truth about the best of the best heroes of the faith in this book? I don't want to tell you the Psalms. Reveal David's emotional state. And there are many, many times when David was powerfully discouraged. In fact, Psalm chapter 51, we learn that guilt will sting the conscience. Guilt will sicken the body. Guilt will sour the spirit. Guilt will saturate the mind. And guilt will soil the soul. But he had to pray that prayer. Renew a right spirit within me. You know, they say we're living in the antidepressant era. The antidepressant era. One man wrote a book called Farmageddon. Not Armageddon, but Pharma, like Walgreen, CVS, Pharmageddon. Now, well, what is going on here? Somebody said worry is emotional atheism. Act like God doesn't exist. Anybody ever do that other than me? You know, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you very far. Listen to this one. Disappointments are events, but discouragement is an attitude. Disappointments are events, but discouragement is an attitude. We have no control over events, but we can do something about our attitudes. Oswald Chambers says that worry is an indication we think God cannot look after us. Ouch. 2 Timothy, listen to this one. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. So what's this all about, this spirit of anxiety? George Mueller said the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. You know, people are afraid because of what might happen. Never in my life have people been more afraid about the future for their children. People are afraid because of what might happen, but I want to tell you, people get depressed because of what has happened. And people get depressed, we human beings get depressed because we lose things. We lose a spouse, lose a job, lose our health, lose a relationship, lose a reputation, lose resources. Can I tell you that all God's giants had their low spots? All God's giants had their low spots. You know, you think of Elijah, wow, what a guy, you know, he's calling down fire on Carmel, he's praying and it's not raining for 3.5 years, and then he prays one prayer and it becomes a deluge, and here he is slaying the false prophets of Baal. Would to God we had a few Elijahs resurrected in this generation, and here he is slaying all these prophets of Baal, and you say, wow, what a guy, and then the next thing you know, he's out under the juniper tree asking God to kill him. Pretty low. What about John Baptist? You know, the Bible says John Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. Wonder what that would be like. I like to get filled with the Holy Ghost post-womb, you know, but here he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says this. I mean, his mother gets in the presence of Jesus while he's still in tow. And comes in the presence of Jesus, and he's kicking and leaping and carrying on in there. But why? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to undo the latchet of his foot, and he must increase and I must decrease. And by the way, Jesus said there's never a greater born among women than John Baptist. Now that's a pretty good compliment coming from the Son of God. Never a greater born among women. But at the end of the day, he's laying up in prison. No get out of jail free card from Jesus. No Dairy Queen cake with a file in it so he could saw his way through the prison bars. Silence. And he loses faith. He has a crisis of faith, Brother Joe. I find people that walk with God are going to have crises of faith. There's people sitting right here. You're having a crisis of faith here this morning. Some of you are sitting here wondering if this whole thing is a hoax. And I'm just telling you, it's common to man. And here old John Baptist, he's laying up in prison, and he gets so despondent that he sends his disciple to Jesus with the words, hey, go ask him, are you the one? Are you Messiah? Or should we be looking for another? He questioned everything. He questioned Jesus' authenticity. He questioned his earthly ministry. He questioned the Messiahship of the Son of God. Go ask him. Are you the one? It's pretty low. Jesus said, go on back and tell John this. Tell him this. Hey, the blind are seeing. The lame are walking. The deaf are hearing. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Go back and tell him that. And you know what old John needed? He needed a reaffirming word. He needed a confirming word. And I want to tell you, as a people and as a family and as a church, sometimes we've got to have a preceding word from God, because there are transitions to where we have to change our trajectory. And I'm here to tell you, he just went back and gave that message to John Baptist, but he got pretty low. You say, well, Paul never got in that shape. Oh, really? Have you never read in Corinthians what he said one time? That he said, I despaired of life. How many of you, that makes you feel better about yourself sometimes? Amen. The apostle Paul, the great apostle Paul, said, I get so down, so low sometimes, I just wish I wasn't even here. I'm just, I don't know about you, but I feel a whole lot better after I read something like that. Amen. But anyhow, somebody said, the sun has a sinking spell every night, but it rises up every morning. And you might be down, but you don't have to stay down. 1 Corinthians says, what knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Who knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? The emotional, mental disposition. You don't know what's going on in the hearts of people around you. You have no idea what's going on in the hearts, perhaps, of the people under your own roof. Last Christmas, a year ago, we got a telephone call. Pastor friend of ours who has a 30-year-old son who happened to be a pastor. The 30-year-old son at 5 o'clock one morning, just before Christmas, went out on the back porch, took a shotgun, pointed it at his chest, and killed himself. I said to my wife, we've got to go minister to the family. So we went up to minister to the family. You know, the week before, they said that his Facebook had pictures of him smiling, quoting scripture verses. You know, these kind of things don't happen overnight. There's a whole history that goes behind this kind of stuff. So we went up. The whole family was there. They're friends of ours. You say, well, what'd you do? Loved them. Hugged them. Listened to them. Prayed over them. Laid hands on them. There was another evangelist there who was part of the SBI. Spiritual Bureau of Investigation. An idiot. Let me put it kindly. A blooming idiot. Asked stupid questions. Well, what was going on? Well, did you know anything was wrong? You know, how many of you know there's a time when you just need to keep your mouth shut? As long as Job's friends kept quiet, they helped him, but when they started talking, they ruined everything. And I want to tell you, we tried to minister to the family on the way home at 10:30. We get another text, 23-year-old son of our friends. Christmas, went out and got drunk, took a pistol, played Russian roulette, and lost. I just say this to you tonight. If you don't drink alcohol, you don't have to ever worry about becoming a drunk. Say a Wisconsin amen on that point right there. I know I'm in the barroom of America, and I couldn't care less. That never would have happened if he hadn't have gotten drunk. Now he's got bullet fragments in his brain. He's going to be permanently blinded with all kinds of limitations, absolutely uncalled for, but the despair. Within 2 weeks, we get another phone call. You ever get to the point where you don't want to take the phone calls? You don't want to read the emails? A 23-year-old son of family friends, they said, had taken his life. Later we found out it was homicide. But within a two-week period, man, three kids under 25. And what's going on? You don't know what's going on in the hearts of people. How many of you think the church ought to be a place where people can hurt out loud and not have to put on a pretense and put on a front? Let me come up here and do a sermon in a Baptist church on that point right there. Just on that point right there. You know, when the fact of the matter is everybody goes through low points. And church ought to be a place where we can find help, hope, comradeship, healing. No, look, it's not what you're going through, it's what you're going to. And I want to tell you, temperament and background can affect your emotional outlook, but God is the lifter of our heads. How many of you know that sometimes we just need for God to lift our heads? Because we're in no condition to lift our own heads. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Oh, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. David had multiple problems, dear people. He had a spirit of adultery, a spirit of anger, a spirit of anxiety. But the Lord renewed him and the Lord restored him, and he can restore us too. I wonder this morning if there's anybody sitting here, you've lost perspective, maybe lost hope. You've lost faith, struggling with anxiety or lust or perhaps anger. Well, I want to give you God's prescription for a renewed spirit. God's prescription for a renewed spirit. Now, this is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You already know this. What verse is here? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, the recipe for release, it begins with prayer. Everything by prayer and supplication. The Bible says, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. You know what that means? Hurl all your concern. Yeah, you know, we just got to learn to hurl it all on God. Some of you are going through a crisis right now. Most of you perhaps are going through, everybody's going through something. Some of you are in the middle of maybe the worst thing you've ever been through in your life. Well, here's the word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Bible says, cast your burden, roll your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. So the first thing in this recipe for release is prayer. Second is praise. Because it says, with everything by prayer and supplication, say it out loud, with thanksgiving. Say that word, thanksgiving. Now, you can't go too far with this word right here. You can go too far with some stuff. You can't go too far with this. In everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases. Benefits. Now listen, we can't afford to forget the benefits. I'm just curious this morning, how many here have all your sins forgiven as a benefit from God? Lift your hand up way high. That'd be hard. Lift two hands on that point, amen? I mean, what about that? All of them. All of them. The ones I committed 35 years ago, the ones I committed yesterday, forgiven, paid, gone, who forgiveth all your iniquities. You know, good people can get by with a pint-sized Savior, but great sinners require a huge Savior. I'm glad I got a huge Savior. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. I'm just curious, how many cancer survivors here in the house? Lift your hands up. I want to see you. Put them up way high. I want to see you. Okay. All right. Benefits. Benefits. Still here. Leukemia survivor. Still here. Do you see? God has been powerfully good to us. Oh, listen, friend. Don't forget all his benefits. How many have a job, by the way? What a benefit. How many of you like your job? That's a benefit. Amen. Wow, what a benefit. How many have a high school diploma? Hands up, high school diploma. It's meaningless, but go ahead and thank God for it anyhow. Amen? I mean, it don't mean anything. You get a college degree, it doesn't mean anything. But anyhow, we got benefits, don't we? We got benefits running out of our ears. I'm just here to tell you, my brother, my sister, how many of you have some friends? Isn't that a blessing to have a friend? How many of you have friends that you can tell them what you really like and they like you anyway? Isn't that great? I got all kinds of friends like that. I just, no holes barred, buddy. We just go, here it is. And we just talk to each other and love each other. What a benefit. Well, listen, friend. You know, if you can walk, kind of, and if you can see some. By the way, one of the benefits of old age is your eyesight fails, so you don't have to look at your mate so close. And really, they don't have to look at you. Amen? That's really the thing right there. I got discouraged the other day. I found out only two parts of the human anatomy continue to grow until you're dead. It's nose and ears. And I thought, this is not good. Amen. But anyhow, thank God for nose and ears, no matter how long they get. But anyhow, we got all kinds of benefits. Listen, friend, we can see, we can hear something. What benefits? Don't forget it. Don't forget those. Praise is where it's at. You know, I'm holding out for two things, personally, holding out for two things. I'm looking to go to a church, which this one has lived up so far, where the technology works. That's the first miracle request. And the second thing I'm holding out for is to go to a Baptist church where people are overflowing with joy. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be. Now, listen to D.L. Moody. Be careful for nothing, prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. Thanking God's the first step of faith. You know, believing what you ask for in prayer is not presumption. The Bible calls it faith. And we have got to get out of our suspicious, analytical, cautious, timid, afraid to ask God for anything. I even hear some people, you know, they're so cautious about everything, they're afraid some of the non-elect might get saved. That ain't the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Let me encourage you this one. Don't go off the deep end on all that stuff. Hear some people tell it, God is not a God of love. He's the devil, hating people, despising people, throwing aborted babies in hell to get glory to himself. If that's what you want to believe, you go ahead. But I say it's a gross misrepresentation of the character of a loving Heavenly Father. Boy, no charge for that one. I just came on right there. But anyhow, back to it here. Sorry. Now look. You don't have to wait until you get feeling better to thank God. I wasn't feeling so hot yesterday. Had a little prayer meeting last night and began to rehearse some blessings and read some of the Word of God, and God can lift our hearts. You know, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, listen to this. So there's prayer, and then there's praise, and then there's peace. The peace of God that passes all human comprehension. Boy, peace is great. Brother Andy, I was in a church in Canada one time. Guy stood up at the end, and he just lifted his hands. He said, "Now may the peace and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit forever. Amen." Oh, wow. That's pretty good. Peace. Peace is really good when you don't have it. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only basket case in this crowd? I mean, know what I'm talking about here? Peace. Now listen to this. Peace rules today when Christ rules the mind. And sometimes you got to rebuild your mind through the Word of God. Praise, prayer, peace. But listen to this, positive thoughts. Verse 8, boy, I hope I can master that kind of before I die. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and honest, and if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, to think on these things. Don't obsess on negativity. Cut off the newscast. Don't watch the debates. Don't do it. I mean, no wonder you're going to stroke out. You're going to have to double your high blood pressure medicine if you keep this up. Now, think on the things that are pure and honest. So that eliminates all that, amen? Now, listen. They say you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. What does this mean? You get to choose what you think about. Now, sometimes you got to get a promise from God and park your mind on it. I was diagnosed with cancer 3.5 years ago. I wish I could tell you I was a spiritual giant champion, singing the hallelujah chorus down to the funeral home to make arrangements. It wasn't that way. Can I just tell you it wasn't that way? I wish it was that way. It wasn't that way. My dear wife, she drove me up these scripture cards. Just scripture cards. I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know what to say. I mean, you know, it's always somebody else that gets the C word report. It's never you. Oh. So I would take these scripture cards and I'd go down behind my house and you know what I'd do? I just sit there. I said, God, I don't know what to pray. I can't pray. I can't concentrate. And I can't even put two sentences together that make any sense. I was so in a state of shock. I said, God, I got nothing to say, but I'm here and I'm listening. If you want to talk to me, you got my full attention. And I would read these scripture verses, you see. And sometimes you just got to park your mind on a verse from the Word of God and get a promise and stick from it. Listen to this. Your memory will replay your past. Your memory will replay your past, but your imagination can preplay your future. And instead of going over all of that and rehearsing all of that, we got to reprogram our minds with the Word of God, because what we need is a saturated, sanctified mind. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Now, listen to me. Whatever you're going through is just a season. It's just a season. Wintertime is a season. I don't blame these snowbirds, buddy. I'm surprised. I thought there's more smart people up here. I figured more of y'all would be going down to Florida by now. But anyhow, it's only a season. I grew up on a farm in Southside, Virginia, on a tobacco farm, of all things. On a tobacco farm, you know, you work 3 or 4 months out of the year. You know, you plow up the ground, you cultivate, you plant the stuff, you fertilize it, you cultivate it, you take care of it, you harvest it, you sell it. You know, it's just like a season, eh? Just a season. Everything in life is a season. Everything is seasonal. No matter what you're going through, it's just a season in the scheme of things. And sometimes in the midst of dark seasons, we need God to lift our heads. And we can pray this prayer. Renew a right spirit within me. And I don't care what you're going through this morning, dear one. The sun can shine again. And it will. Now, David, here was a man who committed adultery. Here was a man who committed murder. Here was a man who was angry. Here was a man who was full of anxiety. And God renewed him, and God restored him, and God used him in a powerful way. You know, I go to churches where they wouldn't want a guy like David to be in membership. And they certainly wouldn't want a guy like David to be teaching Sunday school. But God took David, an adulterer, a murderer, a failure, a flop, and used him after his foray into sin and restoration to write the holy word of God. How many of you think the grace of God is a whole lot more generous than some of us are? Say amen on that part right there. Hey, hey. And I want to tell you, if God could take a character like that and restore him, cleanse him, forgive him, renew him, and put him back, thank God there's hope for you and there's hope for me here this morning. I wanted this morning, before we pray, how many here this morning would say, Brother Harold, I need to pray that prayer, renew a right spirit within me. I'll be honest, I've been struggling here with anxiety. I know some of you just wrestle with this stuff, okay? Spirit of anxiety, spirit of anger, spirit of adultery, or whatever else. How many here this morning would say, Brother Harold, I don't know what about anybody else, but I need to pray that prayer, renew a right spirit within me. Put your hand up high all over the auditorium. That's most of us. Could we stand and talk to the Lord? Would you stand this morning? I want you to talk to the Lord this morning. Our Heavenly Father, there's many of us here that need a renewal of a right spirit. I pray for my brothers and my sisters, my friends and my family. I pray that God, that you would renew a right spirit within us. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to call out to the Lord from your seat right there. I want you to call out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Pray that prayer. Oh, God, renew a right spirit within me. Tell him what you're struggling with. Be honest with him. He already knows it. And then just, oh, God, renew a right spirit within me. Lord, if the circumstance doesn't change, at least let me change. God, give me a verse to park my mind upon instead of absorbing in worry and doubt and fear and unbelief and all the rest. Oh, God, give me a word from thee to hang on to. Just call out to the Lord. Call out to the Lord. Might be a good idea for some of us to grab brother or sister by the hand have a little season of prayer and burden bearing, fellowship, and counsel. Brother Keith, I want you to come and close as the Lord would see fit.
Father, thank you for reminding us of your incredible and marvelous grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your understanding. Lord, thank you for knowing that we are but dust. Father, thank you for giving us of your Spirit. Thank you for the cleansing, the washing of the water of your word, renewing of a right spirit. Thank you for your desire that we be lifted up, full of rejoicing, confidence, courage, strength. We pray that you would work that in and through us today as we experience your forgiveness and your encouragement, exhortation from the word. Thank you for the examples that you've given us to follow. And so we commit ourselves to you anew and afresh and ask that you go with us today as we are determined to be filled with the knowledge of your will and to walk worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.